Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ground Zero Growth. I'm your host, Sam Sapp, owner of LockPod. I'm joined today with Rylan Miller, President and CEO of the Ottawa, Kansas Chamber of Commerce. How are you doing today, Rylan?
Great. Fantastic. It's a good day to be in Ottawa.
It sure is. I'm so excited to have you on, and I'm so passionate about the Ottawa community. So this is going to be great. So can you kind of start with for folks out there that don't know, which I think is a travesty, what is a chamber of commerce?
Yeah, it's a bit of a loaded question, to be fair, because there's a joke, and it's not really a funny joke, to be fair, but a joke that chamber execs will say is that if you've seen one chamber of commerce, you've only seen one chamber of commerce. But there's a lot of truth to that. I would say, depending on your location, chambers can look very different. But for the most part, chambers are usually covering geographical locations. So in our case, we're the Ottawa Area Chamber of Commerce. So we're one of the only chambers in Franklin County. So that's where that area comes in. But if you're up closer to the metro, you're going to see a lot of those overlapping lines. But for the most part, geography is one of the main deciphers of what where a chamber works around. But what a chamber does is, and most chambers, and I would say probably all chambers in this case too, is they all are made up of a membership. And so what that looks like is they're a nonprofit, not in the sense of like an American Red Cross or a United Way, but a business nonprofit, one that their books end up level, but they work with business entities, organizations of all sizes. So, in the case of our chamber, I can speak for Ottawa here that we work with at-home businesses. So, an individual of one, maybe not even on a W-2, could be a sole proprietorship, all the way to very large industry of 1,500 employees. And then everything in between, right? So I'd say our bread and butter, the majority of our membership falls probably around that 8 to 10 employee range. And so that looks like mom and pop shops, that looks like national companies. But then we also aren't just business related. It's also we also have nonprofits that make up our membership. Civic clubs make up our membership. Even individuals. Several retired individuals who at one point were very strong community leaders in their position and have since retired, but just want to be involved, whether that's with our committee or whether that's just a way to be able to give back. So, what that means is those individuals, those nonprofits, those civic clubs, those businesses all pay an annual fee to be part of our organization. And as a result of that, they receive benefits. And so some of the easy ways those describe some of those benefits is they sometimes they look like the marketing. Maybe that looks like advocacy. Maybe that looks like connection, whether that's with other business to business or business to customer, business to resources. A general amount of or generally there's connection benefits that you receive by being a part of a chamber of commerce. And there's also some notoriety that comes with being a part of a chamber of commerce as well. I think some of the it'd probably be lost to some of the younger generations, but chambers have been around for hundreds of years, and there's a weight that comes with being a chamber member. It means that you're in good standing as a business, and it means that you also care about the community that you're working in. And so I don't know if that's exactly what you were hoping for, Sam, but there's a big 40,000 foot level rundown of what chambers are and what the Ottawa Chamber is.
No, that's a lot of what I was looking for. There's multiple points we can kind of lean into. So you make a great point, by the way, with regards to like there's now cryptocurrency chambers of commerce, and then there's these kind of chambers of commerce that are no longer anchored geographically. So it's interesting. We're almost going to have to put something of a fence around what we are talking about so we can get common ground. So, because in my mind, I do think about some of that geographical limitation in that I think it involves a significant degree of benefit specifically for locally focused businesses. So to that end, I would like to dive more into, you mentioned is in good standing. To some end, obviously all chambers are different, but you guys are kind of acting like a local Better Business Bureau in some aspects in that if somebody's doing poorly for the community, you're not necessarily going to maintain their membership. Is that true?
There is a possibility of that, yeah. And different chambers might do it differently. Ours, structurally, how our chamber works is we have a board, And that board then hires a exec. In that case, it's me. And then I then hire our staff based off of our budgetary strengths. And so it could be a board decision to be able to, well, whenever we have new members come in, the board does have to approve those members. And I would assume that most chambers probably look similar to that. And so that there is some accountability there. I think more than anything, it allows us to be communication pieces. It allows us to be able to be there. Not, I wouldn't say so much hand holding, but definitely walking with organizations that are chamber members that can lean on us for support when they need it. And that can look like a lot of ways. Like you can be a very successful organization, but still need support. And so I think where the chambers usually would step in is to make sure that their chamber members are continuing to be that better business, that they're doing things right, and yeah, that they're doing good business. So it's not so much to there's really no disciplinary aspects of at least our chamber anyways. There might be in other communities, but rather making sure that businesses have all the opportunities in the world to be able to have success.
Excellent. So, I want to kind of put a pin in on the chamber conversation because I think we'll come back to that heavier later. So, Ryland, remind me again for the podcast, how old are you?
I'm 27.
You're the youngest person we've had on this podcast to date here. And help me out with how does a 27-year-old come to become the president and CEO of the Ottawa, Kansas Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I guess a little bit of luck. Very blessed, and surrounding yourself with good people, I think probably all falls in that bucket. And so, yeah, a little bit of backstory. I'm not actually a Kansas native. I actually was on the Missouri side originally, Kansas City area, but came to Ottawa, Kansas through the university that exists here. And so I would have been finishing my undergraduate career whenever I needed to do an internship, actually, as I was finishing my undergrad. And what that looked like was me going to a handful of different groups to figure out whether or not they were the right fit. And it really wasn't the right fit. It was through connections, actually, with some staff I had on campus that happened to be serving on the board of the chamber that said, well, maybe we need to go have a conversation with the chamber and maybe they might be able to find some avenues. I'm thankful that the president CEO at the time said, well, why don't you just intern for ourselves? And so I was the chamber intern for a semester. That internship turned into a part-time job as I was getting my master's, which then turned into a full-time job. And then back in it would have been 2022, the end of 2022, whenever my predecessor would have announced his retirement, and so a hiring committee was formed. I threw my name in that hat, and I was luckily chosen to be able to lead the organization now for it'd be a little over a year and a half.
That's exciting. So, but can you talk in more detail about that progression?
Yeah,
So, because
definitely.
it's kind of one of those things where, and maybe this is just my feelings on it. For a while, until I started a small business, transparently, I felt my involvement in like the local community was limited, let alone the national community. And so, and here you are, you go for an internship, and next thing in my personal opinion, a chamber of commerce is kind of smack dab in the middle in some end in the community.
No, well, like I said, before I would have came and talked with the president CEO at the time and would have started that internship, I wouldn't have known what a chamber was. So if you were to ask the question, would I have known that I would have been a president CEO of a chamber, I would have started 5 or 6 years ago. I would have said, I don't know what that is. So no, I don't think I'd be in that role. And so it was definitely a natural progression of how I got to that place. I think there was a decent level of acceptance to be uncomfortable, acceptance to be able to try new things. I consider myself an extroverted person, so the ability to be able to meet new people is exciting to me. And this job has relationships woven within it. That's really what it's all about, to be fair. Well, I say the chamber is. I would say any industry is, to be fair. If you want to find abnormal success, you need to be able to surround yourself with good people, and that means building relationships, not so much for personal gain, but because you just enjoy meeting the person next to you. And there, luckily for me, there's great people in spades in my community, and so it was never difficult to be able to spread my roots in this community. And the chamber definitely accelerated that. I would also say that I had significant mentorship on campus when I was a student, in my own home life, to be fair, but then also in the organization. So whenever I was coming in as an intern, it could have been very easy to give young Ryland grunt work, and that would have been the end of it. But I felt like I was always kind of given a chance to be able to do a little bit more, if I so chose, if I so took that opportunity. And oftentimes I would. And so I think I'm very grateful that I was given so many opportunities to be able to expand my network, but also expand my personal experiences and my abilities through those experiences. And so now I think one of the lessons I learned through that process is how can I replicate that? How can I give back to the interns that we have now, which we do have a couple of interns that are similar to my situation. They're in school and trying to be able to figure out what's next. And hopefully this organization continue to be a group that prepares individuals for life after school, and that doesn't have to look like them continuing in chamber work, but hopefully those same foundations that to be community-minded, community-driven, that those things are important. I sure hope that they'd be able to take those away once they're done with their internships, much like I did.
What kind of degree did you go for?
That's a good question, and I don't know how far back you want to go. So actually, my undergrad was actually in exercise science. I had a concentration in coaching. Whenever I would have started undergrad, I had thought at the time that I wanted to be a soccer coach. I was playing soccer at Ottawa University as well. And I think it would probably have been about junior year when I realized that that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do as a full-time job. Not that I didn't enjoy coaching, and I definitely still enjoy soccer too. But that's not exactly what I wanted to do. I was able to do my internship, which again has nothing to do with exercise science. From an event planning standpoint, the chamber does do a lot of community events, and so that's kind of how I was able to get that in. And then I would have, whenever I got my master's, I was in business administration, which really allowed me to kind of have a chance to be able to redefine where I was kind of headed. At that point in time, I knew I was going to do something more business related than athletic related, and so the MBA allowed me to be able to do that, and definitely taught me things that I'm currently using now from accounting, finance, economics, yeah, all those standpoints as well. So,
Wow, that's so exciting. 'Cause, so can you tell me about once you got plugged into the chamber, what are some of the things that's done with you with regards to people you've been capable of meeting?
oh, absolutely. I'd say if someone's not familiar with the chamber, and you can break down all the different benefits, which I imagine most chambers have laundry list of benefits. One of the ones that you can't put on paper, it doesn't have a dollar sign next to it, is the doors that it opens for you to be able to have conversations if, again, you step through that door. Our chamber prides itself on having very regular networking events. And I don't know, I should have looked that number up before we've gotten this call, but there's 52 weeks in a year. We usually host them just once a week. This year we've had this influx of having even like weekdays. So this evening we actually have an after hours as well, with a coffee coming up this Friday. And I think we're nearing high 40s already this year in regards to networking events, and what those look like are chances to be able to learn about a business that's a chamber member, but also be able to connect with our community. So that looks like 30, 40, 50 some individuals coming into a room. That looks like nonprofit execs. That looks like branch managers at banks, city and county elected officials. That looks like just the individual who happens to be involved past retirement. That looks like someone that works at the car dealership. It's diverse, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And they come together, and there's just a culture of community that exists at those gatherings. So, and I that's what we purposely do. It's not accidental. It's not like we all somehow walked into a room and it just happened. The chamber wants to be able to build that culture, and so we create these opportunities. We make these introductions so people can be able to find connections, and whether that's just a personal connection, they feel a little bit more at home with the business they're doing, or even better, which is whenever you see two individuals walk into a Chamber of Coffee who were strangers before, and when they leave, they're talking about how their businesses can help each other and how they can partner together. And then you go and see weeks, months later of them fulfilling that partnership and doing cool things in the community. And so those are the reasons why we do that. And it works whenever you have individuals who are willing to be able to step out of their comfort zone, especially those who might consider themselves a little bit more extroverted, to be able to be open to meeting individuals. Again, not maybe so much with the idea that if I come to this, I'm going to be able to get a customer, and that means I'm going to be able to drive revenue, which means I'm going to be able to do yada, yada, yada. But rather, I'm going to come to this, and so I can be a part of something much bigger than myself. That's what a chamber can do.
No, 100%. Well, now I feel like, so I need to steal the mic for just a minute because I kind of want to talk about my indoctrination into chambers of commerce because the Ottawa, Kansas Chamber was kind of an early supporter of ours. And truthfully, I had been in a difficult spot was I where I was actually kind of trying to get out of tech to some degree. Believe it or not, I'd made the mental decision to pivot away from tech. And the chamber's support of us, coupled with the president of the Times, testimonial, which frankly brought me to tears, brought us back into what's basically our core offering. And since then, we've tried to plug into just more chambers in general to be involved because we're capable of servicing nationwide. And so we try to strategically plug into local chambers depending on region and availability and what we're but it's been an absolute ride for me in that, you know, like you said, you know, you come to one of these coffees, not exactly knowing what to expect. And next thing you know, you're meeting the local sheriff or you know, state senator or local state senator, you know, local house representative, and it's just absolutely fascinating to me. And then you can create a rapport and a conversation that's strong enough to where, you know, maybe there's a bill being considered that's going to affect your state and city level. And if you are a relevant party to that bill to where they think your insight will be helpful, then they can just reach out to you directly because just like other human beings, they're also on Facebook and LinkedIn or whatever, and you know, they want your vote, but then more than that, they want to, in my experience, most folks want to do right by their community. And so, you know, getting folks that have that information is key. And it's been a really driving force for us. And to your point, I didn't know what a chamber of commerce was until I started my business. I still remember, and I think you and I both share this in common. We were both homeschooled, if I recall correct, at least through
Yeah.
high school to high school.
Oh, all the way through high school. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, so same here, all the way through high school. And I remember a situation where I had to write the local chamber of commerce a letter, in which case I got a response, but I didn't know exactly what it was even then until I started a business that was or was involved in a business that was heavily involved in the local chamber. And that kind of branched out my understanding. It's kind of like seems to me like almost the local watering hole, at least with regards to businesses for sure. But that's what's interesting to me is it's I think it's while that's one of maybe the key focuses, I think it's a slight misnomer that the local community can't plug into it as well. Because, you know, what better way to plug into your local community than through the chamber, through business, and through local senators, representatives, sheriffs, mayors, etc., right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I would say that, and you say community getting plugged in. I'd say if you have a chamber in your community, you're being affected, even if you don't realize that you're being affected. Oftentimes, chambers are the cheerleaders for community. So, whether that's driving tourism, whether that's driving individuals, even maybe relocating to your community, your neighbor very well could have came and got a brochure that gave them access to information about what your town has to offer, maybe even housing information. Maybe even got connected to a realtor through their chamber, and that's why they live right next to you. So I'd say everyone's affected in some way. Maybe that's through a community event. You're talking about the different ways people you writing a letter to your chamber as a kid. There's a lot of individuals, probably high schoolers, that view us through our career day or through our annual award, high school awards that we participate in, and maybe they view us as that individual there. Maybe it's through, oh yeah, you guys put on that one local event, shopping event downtown, and that's how they associate the chamber with the Ottawa community. And then obviously, a business who's a chamber member would have a different view of what the chamber is to them. And there's no wrong answer. I think all of those are okay because that's based on their own experiences. And I think it's really just a testament to the ways that chambers can be able to be involved and connect individuals, whether you're a middle school, elementary, middle school, high school child versus someone who's had a full career, is now in their 60s, leading a business or an organization, and are plugged in different ways.
Gotcha. Well, out of curiosity, I feel like we need to bring up what's kind of a rough, obviously it's going to differ by chamber and location, but can you kind of give people an idea of a general membership due that they might pay annually? Because that's another thing. Like we're talking about some really cool stuff. I feel like all things considered, the amount isn't as astronomical as you might think to get in front of somebody that could very much change the course of your business or personal life or interaction with the community.
Yeah, and that's when talking about the differences between chambers, that's going to be one that varies drastically. I'd say probably the closer you get to the metro, that price might go up a little bit compared to a more rural chamber, which we definitely consider ourselves one. There's some chambers that don't actually have any membership costs. They're a inclusive chamber, so they derive revenue through sponsorship opportunities. We're a chamber that does a little bit of both. We have sponsorship opportunities, but we also do have a membership due. And depending on the type of business you are, it varies. So the larger the business, usually the more it costs. But also there's different depending on industry type as well. So financial institutions are going to pay a different rate compared to a hotel or compared to a small mom and pop shop. But you're probably looking somewhere between, we have some memberships for individuals as low as $80, all the way to, I mean, some of our biggest ones, some of our largest industry are probably somewhere in the range of, oh, I don't know, $1,500. But for the most part, for the average business, 5 employees or less, you're talking $200, $300, $400 probably is what it would end up running you, depending on where you're located. That might be a little low for some of our Johnson County, Kansas, or Wyandotte County, Kansas, or even I guess on Jackson side too, depending on, like I said, where you are at in the metro. That might be on the low side, but you're talking hundreds of dollars that, if you consider that, and those are, and I say those numbers, that might be confusing. Most chambers do have annual dues, so what that looks like is that when you pay that fee, that covers you for the entire year. So that's not like every time you show up to something you're paying those hundreds of dollars. That's you do the one and done based on how their structure, and then that covers you for 12 months, or depending on if they prorate. Yeah. But usually covers for an annual membership investment.
That's exciting. No, and to jump back into plug in for local community too, and the value, I remember even just kind of an acquaintance was messaging me and he was like, "Hey, out of curiosity, like I'm moving to this town. What do you know about the internet provider situation there?" Which I feel like is kind of a semi-common one. And at least for me, it sure is. And so it was a different town that I was a little bit, most of the time I can kind of rattle off the internet providers based off location. And a lot of folks, coming from a big city, they're used to the big ones, AT&T and all these others. But when you come to a smaller community, it's kind of like, well, I don't know, AT&T isn't there for some reason. Who is there? And I ended up telling them, I was like, you should probably call the local chamber of commerce because that's what I'm about to do. I was like, if you want, I'll just pick up the phone, make myself look good. But you could call a chamber directly, save yourself some time, and they're going to tell you who the one is that they recommend. So,
That's definitely a
yeah.
common question. Internet provider, or so there is a level of referral as well that members usually receive, but oftentimes that looks like giving community individuals, all the options they have, because maybe there might be someone in that list who, yeah, they're just unaware of. So you're 100% right. If you are interested in knowing whether it's a for-profit business or a question about how you need to pay one thing or another, whether your electricity runs your city or whether that's a third party, or as your chamber of commerce is probably the individual who will know the answer to that question. If they don't know the answer, they know who to get a hold of.
What have been some of the struggles involved with the Chamber of Commerce? Is there community involvement? Is there, you know, I mean, in a world where Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn exists, and sometimes people maybe aren't involved in their local community because they're too big, they're too worried about global politics. What have some of the struggles you've seen here in 2024 with the Chamber and the World Wide Web?
Yeah, no, I think there's when just challenges in general. It sounds like you're kind of moving towards specifically technology challenges. So technology challenges, I would say communication. In a world where it's easier than ever to be able to communicate with anyone anywhere in the world, it's somehow harder to be able to learn news about your local community. And there's different avenues different communities choose to be able to try to get that word out to the best of their ability. But doesn't make it any less easier. I can't imagine. I can't tell you how many times we would have had an event that we would have marketed 2 months prior to the event. We would have used social media, local radio, put flyers in businesses downtown, and then you have someone the day after the event come and say, "I wish I would have known about it. Otherwise, I would have been there." And then you ask them, "Well, how do you get your information? Are you on social media?" "Oh no, I don't use social media." "Do you listen to the radio?" "Oh no, I don't use radio." "Oh, you shop downtown?" "No, I don't really shop downtown. I just go to Walmart." It's like, okay, well, I could how would you like to be communicating with? Because we're running out of options. And so and sometimes it's just one or two of those, and sometimes algorithms as well can get in the way. But I would say just communicating, I use the event as an example, but it could be any one thing or another that makes communications tricky as a community organization. And I would say somewhat technological as well, but also just a general problem. And I don't think this is specific to chambers, but generational shifts as well is also a challenge. The way younger individuals communicate, the way the what younger generations put emphasis on or find value in, volunteerism. It's just one example of that. That's changed drastically over the last 10 years, but well longer than that as well, where you have baby boomers who probably all at some point in time would have been part of a fraternal or civic organization. And now I would imagine individuals between, well, you could even say millennials, I would say it's probably, if I had to take a rough guess, at least in our community, maybe 20% of those are involved in those same organizations. And so you're seeing less volunteerism. You're seeing less community involvement. And I don't think that's for one reason or another, but I think technology gives you that false sense of security that that exists when you are in these social media channels. Doing things with people in person is a little bit different than doing them online. Not that they can't be replicated, but it can be a challenge to have these organizations, ourselves included, to be able to adapt in a way that is inclusive, that allows all those individuals to be able to play a part. And also to be able to make change, not so drastic that it drives out all of your older generation, all your older volunteers, but also but is incremental. That was a long bit there. Sorry, Sam. I don't know
No,
if that was
I
exactly
like
what you were
that.
going to
That's
get at.
perfect. Well, because I understand I did frame it in a technology sense, but I also kind of meant it in a general sense too. So if you were to kind of pick a peak problem that the chamber has noticed over the course of the last, like you said, 5, 10 or so years, it's ultimately finding volunteers for different organizations, for different nonprofits and local community events. Am I
That's
hearing that
definitely
right?
a piece of it. And if chambers aren't already experiencing that problem, they're at least seeing an aging of their volunteer force. Is what I would say. There's different groups that probably don't have that problem, depending on where they're located. Maybe also some of the steps they've taken to be able to attract younger individuals to be involved. But in our community, yeah, it's definitely something you see across the board, not just chamber volunteerism. And then, like I said, the other side of that is just communication. How you're able to communicate. With with the community as a whole. It's easy to be able to communicate when you know exactly who you need to communicate with, but whenever you're trying to spread a large net, I think that can be tricky sometimes.
No, I
And
like
you're gonna
that.
have
So I'm
groups,
just.
technological groups, that are gonna try to sell you, say that if you advertise through us, that us
Yep.
Meta, whether that's Google, whether that's they're gonna say that if you advertise to us, you're gonna hit everybody. I don't know. You might be able to answer that question better. Do they?
No, I mean, so I'm trying to get my head into the head of the listener now, kind of in my mind, and let's assume we've got the ideal listener that's like, well, I'm interested. I'd get plugged in, but what can I do, and how do I get involved? And I think that what can I do, I think is a sometimes we discount our abilities. I know I've discounted my abilities. Sometimes something that comes easy for me, it's a bit of a struggle when you, or it's an exciting thing, truthfully, when you're like, you realize what's easy for you is not necessarily what's also easy for someone else. And from a social media aspect, we end up in these cliques where next thing you know, everybody we know and hang out with knows similar things to us. And so then the assumption is that everybody's that way. So I guess just kind of like a walk me through kind of a range of what people could volunteer for and how they do volunteer for something, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and again, I can only speak to my own experiences here at our chamber, but
Sure.
that could look like a vast majority of things. So we have committees, most chambers do, to be fair, that you are usually volunteer force through their chamber members. So some of the examples of some of our committees, we have one called Events and Promotions, and believe it or not, they put on events and they promote our organization. And so those are groups that are individual. Have an interest in planning an event, organizing it, maybe even executing it, or sometimes none of those things, but wants to be involved in a group that does do those things. And so they can be a pair of helping hands whenever it comes to time to actually help with the event. So I say all these things with, I guess I should preface all these things by saying no prerequisites are needed to be able to do any of these things. And if you think that you might have zero of the ability to do these, but they have an interest to you, that interest is enough. We have another committee that is called our Legislative Action Committee. They work towards trying to be able to communicate with the community and our legislators, whether that's those who are already in office or maybe candidates who are looking to be in office. We would have just had a candidates forum last week with the upcoming election. And so that would be an example of one of the events that they put on. But they find ways to be able to communicate information from the state and fed to our, and even local sometimes, so city and county as well, to the community as a whole. We have a group called our ambassadors. They help organize our networking events. They help speak at those events and keep those programs moving along. So those are individuals that like being around others. They're okay with being in a speaking role at one of these events. We have a Leadership Franklin County course. So these are individuals who have a desire to be able to educate individuals, allow people to be able to find leadership capabilities inside themselves that maybe they didn't realize they had. So I'm rambling now, but what I guess what I'm getting at is, if you think that you have a talent of some kind, or maybe not even so much a talent, but an interest in a specific field, all that would take for me was if they were to have a conversation with me, I could easily get them plugged into one of our own committees, or maybe it has nothing to do with something that we do. Maybe they go, we really love doing things with youth and would love to be able to be part of an organization, give time to an organization that works with youth. And I'd say, here's a civic club. Our Franklin County Optimists do things with youth all the time, pushing them in that direction. So I have a strong feeling that if someone had a desire to give back in some way, whether that's with time or money, I'd be able to very accurately shove them to a direction that would allow them to be able to accomplish that. So starting a conversation is really the answer to your question on how someone would get started.
One is so fascinating to me that you know, I mean, the degree of experience, you know, you just described, I'm just going to try to, based off what I remember, and that, you know, I mean, you described a scenario where somebody could increase their public speaking experience, somebody could get involved in local politics if they're interested in branching out into that for some reason. They want to start to help run people's campaigns. And then you described a mentoring coaching scenario for youth and more. And so it's this, it's interesting because I think in a weird sort of way, you know, you go into the with the mindset of what am I going to get out of it? And to be fair, that's it's fine to enter with that mindset, but just how much you give and get at the same time. You know, you're getting experience while simultaneously contributing to the local community in a positive way. You know, I think I'm on I think I'm on about three committees right now, if I'm going to be honest. And I've got not only fantastic experience, but also part of the reason I increased the communities I'm getting involved in is because, you know, you have these paid organizations where you show up for a coffee once a week. There's a few of those, and for, you know, I'm in one or two of them. They're not necessarily a bad thing, but if you're not careful, everybody shows up. Not only are you paying to be in the organization, but everybody shows up in kind of this, what am I going to get out of it? And then nothing ultimately gets done on either side of the fence because it's kind of a stalemate. Versus, you know, volunteering for a local chamber, a committee, a Rotary Club, you know, anything like that where you might meet the same, if not even much different individuals in a scenario where maybe you're not paying because you're volunteering for your time and everybody's in a giving capacity to contribute to the local community. And you get to meet them just the same way, right? You can plan a coffee after the fact just as easily as you could in the first one. So, yeah, it's really intriguing. So, to kind of tell me about your homeschool upbringing and tell me about some of the challenges you've gone through with regards to, you know, a 27-year-old as the president of the Chamber of Commerce. You know, what's that personal progression been like?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good question. So yeah, like you mentioned, I was homeschooled through so I would have gone to kindergarten and public school, but otherwise it was first through 12th grade. My mother was a teacher. Whenever she would have I had three siblings, and so there was a point in her life where she wanted to be able to spend more time with her kids and not be at school. And being able to homeschool us was an opportunity to be able to do that. It was very important to her that we got exposed to the world outside of our own home, and so there was definitely opportunities through faith, civil, other educational opportunities where we were interacting with individuals. Something that I don't think gets stressed enough, actually. One of the benefits, I think there's often people can poke holes in a homeschool education because of their lack of ability to be able to communicate with others. Something that I do think, not to be have a critique, but I think sometimes public school and really any school, private school, could do the exact same thing. Is you there's a reliance on being able to spend time and make experiences with individuals that are in your grade or your age. But something my parents stressed was that we had opportunities to be able to interact with individuals outside of our own age range. So whether that was older, younger, maybe sometimes even adults who were mentors through different programs, I had a significant amount of opportunity to be able to work with individuals who weren't my peers in regards to age or grade. And I do think that that was a benefit. It helped me be able to communicate with individuals in a way that was authentic. As a result, I think it has led to, even though I was homeschooled, me being a bit more extroverted. I would say those opportunities, even though I was homeschooled, I never had a problem having conversations with folks or getting involved in certain ways. I don't think I really had too much of a difficult transition once I went to college, even though it was a private school or rather small private school, but got along just fine there. I think there was a decent amount of exposure that I would have had about as I said, I guess just connecting with individuals who might not be exactly like myself, even though I was homeschooled growing up. I guess going back to your question on what that upbringing was like. I was again very blessed to have a parental structure that supported us and allowed us to be able to try new things and taught us that failures were just as good as successes. And so sometimes things didn't work out. Sometimes you would try things for a couple of years and it didn't pan out. Well, we can move on to something else. But as long as you're giving it your all, then that's what we're going to try to do. So Very blessed to have parents and grandparents and individuals in our community that supported our growth at a young age. Don't know if that exactly answers your question or if that's what you were hoping for, but
Yeah, thanks.
asking
No, that's
supplemental
good.
questions if there's
That's good.
if
Yeah.
you're looking for something else.
Well, and so what have been some of the struggles? So then progressing into, so then you've got college and then your internship, and then now you're the president and CEO at the Ottawa Chamber. Kind of walk me through what have some of the struggles you've personally seen and had to overcome kind of in that sort of space. And
Yeah.
is any of it related to your age? Maybe none of it's related to your age. Maybe you're getting along just fine in that regard, but
No, I think there's definitely challenges with the age. There's one of the I mean there's like two sides of the coin, isn't there? Some of it's you're part of these groups, and sometimes if you're part of older groups, they assume because you're younger that you are technologically minded. So you have the ability to be able to do things IT related. And being the individual who runs our IT in our office, you'll know that I have a very surface level experience working on computers or things online. So oftentimes I relay my those work requests to Lockbaud because yeah, that's about as far as my bandwidth goes in regards to understanding how to be able to solve technological issues. But there's also as I say, some one of the positives I would say is people often talk about how much potential there is for growth, and they don't say that in a way that's like you're not there yet, but you'll be there one day. But rather, you have the opportunity to be able to do whatever you want. You have the energy to be able to get it done, which is exciting. But I guess part of that is not wasting that opportunity as well. I don't know if that puts too much extra pressure on me. I think that I work with a pretty diverse group of individuals between volunteer groups, through our membership itself, through our own staff, that looks like varying ages, genders, and backgrounds, upbringings. And I don't know if my age per se gives me a benefit or hinders me by any means. Yeah, I guess I just view it as an opportunity, I guess, to be able to connect with individuals. I would say generally, Chamber of Commerce president CEOs aren't mid-20-year-old young men. Usually whenever I'm in those groups, whether it's at conferences, that's just, yeah, so that's not usually the demographic. With that being said, I think there's probably a level of or a bit of a different viewpoint on certain things that I bring to the table, which is exciting. I don't know if I don't view those as negatives, that I don't have the exact same experiences or understandings as my peers, other execs. And so I don't know. I guess I don't know if I think about my own age too much. Intrinsically, people speak it to me, I guess. I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know if you've ever experienced that yourself, Sam, or you're in a group and you bring the average age down 20 years, but it doesn't feel like that because you're enjoying being around the people that you're with.
Supposed to your point, I don't know how much. I mean, sometimes I pay it mind, but I don't know how much I actively think about it at any given time. Because to your point, it's more about the relationships and the people we're connecting with. I think for me, a big part of the question, the posture of it was something along lines of, what's been kind of a particular struggle for you, or a moment that you had that you kind of grew out of. That hey, I haven't had to deal with the budget before on a Chamber of Commerce, and that was new and difficult, but fortunately there's a board there. Or what's kind of a moment where just the environment, your experience, and maybe something was assumed, and it took a moment of growth for you to kind of come out of.
Oh yeah, I think I appreciate
Well, and
you
on
phrasing
top of
that.
that, like, yeah, I mean, we've talked about on the surface. We haven't gone too much into detail on the podcast. You're married a couple years in, and you've got all these social gatherings that you're running to left and right. So just kind of tell me some of the personal aspects of things that you've been overcoming.
So go back to some of those challenges that the experience before this role. Recently, the one that stands out, being in a small office, and I would imagine small businesses probably experience this the exact same, is you wear a lot of hats, and so you don't have an HR department. You are your own HR department. Hiring an employee for the first time, going through that process with, well, there's a process before you get the hiring for it, right? Being able to put your job out and hopefully attract the right individuals, have the interviews, the screening calls, and then the interviews with the individuals, and trying to be able to make a right hire is time consuming. And it honestly, can be exhausting as well. And then how much foundation, how much groundwork has been done to be able to let that person come in, you just give them the training, and then they're able to hit the ground running, is a whole nother aspect. So that's something that I've learned since starting this role. Definitely an experience I did not have. And I've definitely, through my experience, there's probably about a dozen things I would have done differently if I were to do it again, in regards to hiring. And that's just it's part of learning the role. There's definitely the ways you run a board meeting, that's definitely adapted over my year and a half of being president and CEO. What I would have started with and where we're at now looks very different. How much information you get before going into what could be a tense conversation, whether that's with a board member, that's with just a member at large, with how much information you know about a subject. And sometimes it's planned. Sometimes you know you're going to this conversation that could be tricky, whether it's politically charged, whether I don't mean so much like national politics, but just like local politics, if that makes any sense, or maybe even just in industry specific conversation. But sometimes it can ha get spurred on you through a phone conversation or someone just walking into your office. And how well have you done to prepare yourself to be able to answer questions honestly and accurately? And if you don't have those answers, how well are you at diffusing a tense individual, and how you're able to then get them the correct information at a later time, and having to be okay with you not having the answers right then. So these are all things that I don't think any class is going to be able to prepare you for. It has to be that experience that gets you ready for those kind of moments. And I would add one more thing too, something that I've been able to see, which is definitely a progression, and when I would have started as an intern, it's got me to this point as well. Is the idea, I think my generation, I can't speak for everyone, but my own experience is that I'm not opposed to change. I like being able to look at a process and figure out why it wasn't as effective as it could be, how we can be able to bring new people to the table, how we can get new ideas infused, and what can make it bigger, better, or just even maybe more efficient, make it less work. And there's definitely some opposition to that sometimes. Definitely when you were talking about these boards that you work on, these volunteer individuals who've been doing it for 3 decades. And we've done it this way because that's how we've always done it. And so there's being able to go into those conversations and have the leadership competency to realize that when you bring up these new ideas, or you want to be able to push things forward in a certain direction, at the same time, you also have to take into effect that there's individuals that view this change as loss, and how you be able to have those conversations effectively. Again, that incremental aspect to be able to adapt is important. And even though you could have the best idea in the world, how are you going to get the people that are surrounding you to be able to hop on board is just as important as the idea in itself. And so all those things, I don't think you get taught per se, but you just have to experience. And so I've already been able to experience a bit of that in my short time as president. But I think if I were 30 years older moving in this role, it'd be probably be easier, because I probably would have already experienced those. But some of those I've been able to experience firsthand, and just taking those in stride.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And there's a lot there, a lot of stuff that you're right, kind of gets taken for granted sometimes. You mentioned the hiring and the exhaustion of it, and you're right. Yeah, I had it's gonna sound so silly and simple to some folks, I'm sure, but I remember for a hiring stint, I lined up about 4 interviews, maybe more. I don't remember the full extent of it, but I had about 4 interviews per day for about a week straight
Oh, wow.
before I realized that's too many. And at least for me, I'm sure there's other people that is fantastic to, for context for folks. I thrive in a one-on-one environment, which I think is part of the reason why I thought it'd be no big deal. But then I just learned that, you know, it's sometimes people, it's it on average it was particularly draining to the point to where the people that got to my short list were the people that were like energetic and gave me energy, and it was like, oh, thank goodness, yay.
Yeah.
But
That's a perfect
you know,
example of yeah, just learning from those processes and yeah, as I said, making those slight adjustments. And it's so easy to go in with your own expectation. And you probably ask yourself that question: if I was someone applying for this job, how would I want to go through this hiring process? Which is incredibly kind of you. And what it really turned into is the biggest chore for yourself because you were just giving every single individual who happened to apply the opportunity to come and have a conversation with you. And there's and maybe it's the Midwestern in us, but it can be tricky sometimes to be able to prioritize one your own time, your own energy, resources in a way that can sometimes feel like you're not being the nicest guy in the world. But you have to take those steps to be able to make sure you're not just getting burning the candle at both ends. So, I know
But
exactly how you feel.
I love that about small business too, in particular. I mean, to your point about the Midwestern, but I also think it's a little bit of a small business thing. I'm sure there's bigger businesses that have figured it out, but at the end of the day, when you're reviewing, I don't know, 1,000 applicants or whatever, you can't help but be a little bit more robotic in processing them, I'm sure, in one way or another. You know, we'd say there's AI now reviewing applicants en masse and creating a short stack. You know, small businesses don't have that same degree of access to that. And you're right, maybe they've only hired so many people before, so it is going to be ideally more courteous to some end. That's great. Thank you, Ryland. So, that's awesome. As we start to kind of wrap up here, what's kind of one bit of advice that you'd like to leave folks with? This is kind of your moment. If there's something in
Well,
particular that you learned or something that you think has been core to you getting this far, what towards your goals, what would you say that would be?
yeah, that's I could probably think of a dozen things. The first thing that's coming to mind is so I'm just going to roll. That's usually how I answer most questions, to be fair. The first thing that pops into my mind is your mindset. It's how you go into those conversations. I think having a growth mindset is really important. Not being okay with exactly where you're at. If you are okay with where you're at, you're scooting backwards, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean there needs to be massive changes that need to take place, but you got to be able to better yourself personally, but you also have to better the people around you. And so having a growth mindset, and then also having a mindset that and this is again two sides of the coin. It's not all about yourself, but at the same time, you got to be able to protect yourself, and your mental health is important. And so, especially to small businesses, you can't think that you are the center of the universe, and that everyone's viewing your social media posts or everyone's liking your podcast, because that's probably not the case. You got to be real with yourself, but at the same time, realize that if you are getting up and you're putting the work in. Good. Keep going. Don't let that discourage you when you don't have that the 10,000s of viewers cut roll in to be able to keep scooting forward. So take those steps towards being able to grow, be able to take care of yourself, but also realize that the people you surround yourself with, people that you connect with, is going to make a heck of a lot easier for you if you surround yourself with some good people. That's I'm talking about staff. That's talking about business mentors. That's talking about the community that you exist in, geographically, but maybe also spiritually, maybe also civically, maybe also the local government community that revolves around you as well.
Love it. So normally I ask now how people can get in touch with Ryland. I think as part of that, since a lot of this has been the local Chamber of Commerce, I'd ask how should people kind of get plugged into their local community through the chamber?
Yeah, I would say every chamber's probably got a website. That's probably a pretty good spot to hit. I feel like websites are slowly becoming, if you don't view it on a Google page, you're not going to search out any for, like, if it's not the first, what, two options, right? You're not going to click it. But hopefully, if you look up city name and your chamber, that's going to be the first thing that pops up. And undoubtedly, there's going to be contact information there. I would also say, depending on your age, you probably don't even need to go to the website. You could probably just, your Google My Business listing is probably going to pop up as well. Whether that's through phone, email, or even just stopping by our location, all that's very public information. I don't know if you actually want me to share my email address or phone number
You can if you want. That's up to you.
but I just say, yeah, Ottawa Area Chamber of Commerce. Whether you're on social media, whether you're on Google, you'd be able to find us easy enough. If you don't talk to me specifically when you either message or call or stop in, you're going to meet me, one of my staff, or one of our volunteers. And they'll be able to give you answers that you need, or they're going to be able to push you to someone who's going to be able to give the answers, whether that's someone internally in our office, or maybe that's a group that outside our office as well. But I like to hope that, yeah, through social media, Googling, you'd be able to find us. We're not trying to hide anyways. So I hope that's the case.
Love it. Thank you so much, Rylan, for being on. I've really appreciated you.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Sam, for what you do.
Bye, everybody. Hello, everybody. I wanted to thank you for listening to today's episode. It's such a blessing to be able to interview some such fantastic individuals. If you're interested in listening to more, we look to post every Thursday at 10 a.m. You can find us on YouTube, Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much. Have a blessed day.